Most of you probably saw the title of this episode, CER, and immediately knew the acronym for Claim Evidence Reasoning. And if you did not know that, have no fear because we are going to be talking all things CER today. Now, I will tell you this. I'm going to tell you what it is, but I'm also going to share an unpopular opinion about why I never personally explicitly taught it. And then I'll end the episode with a few ways that I have been more intentional in recent years about incorporating it more explicitly as a curriculum writer in the resources that I'm creating. So let's get into it. This is Secondary Science Simplified, a podcast for secondary science teachers who want to engage their students and simplify their lives. I'm Rebecca Joyner from It's Not Rocket Science. As a high school science teacher turned curriculum writer, I am passionate about helping other science teachers love their jobs, serve their students, and do it all in only 40 hours a week. Are you ready to rock the time you spend in your classroom and actually have a life outside of it? You are in the right place, teacher friend. Let's get to today's episode. Okay, let's start with what it is. So if you didn't know, CER stands for Claim Evidence Reasoning, and it is a model or structure for students to construct explanations. So they're answering a question, and this is going to guide them in how best to thoroughly answer the question. So the idea is that if they're answering a question, they are going to make a claim. That's a C. And your claim is just some sort of clear statement that actually addresses the question. And then you're going to back up that claim with specific evidence. That's where the E comes from. And then finally, you will back up that evidence with reasoning for it. That's the R, the reasoning. Now, it's pretty straightforward. You might be thinking, if you've never heard of this before, like, okay, isn't that what we've always kind of done? And your answer would be, yes, it is. And so this is why I never explicitly taught CER. Now, this has been around for years, okay? But I feel like it really started getting pushed by standards and my districts around 2019, 2020-ish. And y'all, I cannot tell you the number of messages I get on a weekly or monthly basis asking if my biology curriculum or my physical science curriculum includes CER. And honestly, the short answer is no. Like, I don't explicitly teach CER in those curricula. I don't include any instructional resources that are like, here's how to do CER and walks them through it exactly, okay? They're not going to see that exact language on an assessment, whether that's formative or summative. They're just not going to see it say CER. But you all, I have never felt the need to do that because I've been using and teaching CER for a decade, like before it even really became a thing. And you probably feel the same way. Like, I kind of chuckled when this exploded and I started getting all these questions like, do you have CER resources? Do you have CER curriculum? And I'm like, guys, all science is making claims and backing them up with evidence and reasoning. We've all been doing this for years. Like, I've had teachers DM me stressed because our school's adopting CER and I don't know how to do it. I'm like, yes, you do. You do know how to do this. You can do this, you know? I laugh, like I'm thinking back to when I was in high school, we were just given a question and told to explain our answer or justify our answer. And then in that, we inherently did that. Like our teachers, I just feel like taught us like to explain something, you need to have evidence and you need to explain what that evidence is explaining, okay? So we just didn't have the nice, fancy, pretty acronym. So if you have any of my first few curricula, you're not going to see it explicitly anywhere say CER, but I want you to not be discouraged because CER is innately in the DNA of what science is. And if you aren't explicitly teaching it, have no fear. You're probably doing it anyway. You just haven't called it CER. I think the simplest solution is make and throw up a poster on your wall that explains what a CER statement is and how it's broken down into the three parts and reference it regularly. Your students will come to know over time this is the expected type of response to any question. You know, whether it specifically in the question says write a CER or not. Most likely on a standardized test, they're not going to see an open response question and have it say, be sure to write in a CER format. It's just something they need to be able to know and do in order to properly, you know, explain the claims that they make. Like, that's the thing. I love the concept of CER, you know, but I also just think sometimes in education, we're always looking for like the next new buzzword or trend. And sometimes I think we can make mountains out of molehills. Love CER. I'm here for it. But I just want you to know, if you're not seeing it, don't fret. Like, you can be explicit about teaching your students that acronym if you would like, because all the resources point for you to be able to do that. Now, all that being said, I am trying to be a little bit more intentional now with the resources I'm creating now and incorporating that, just because, again, the number of emails about it. I feel like I've had this same conversation with so many different teachers over the years. And so when I wrote chemistry specifically, I made sure to like include one resource that's in the first unit that has them make a CER mini poster, and you can go through that language there. And then I try to reference that language in other places as well. But I will say I was hesitant for a while, because one thing I try to do when I write curriculum is make curriculum that is timeless. And not because I don't want to update it, because if you follow me for a while, you know, I am constantly updating and tweaking things and even doing mega revamps. Like, biology got a mega revamp 4 years after I first wrote it. And so I'm here to do that. I just don't want, there's always going to be like a new trend and a new buzzword and a new thing. And I try to avoid those, because come 2 years, 3 years from now, it might be obsolete and there's going to be a new thing. So, like, for example, I don't write my resources and my lesson plans in the 5E format. I adore the 5E model, and it has been around for a while. But like, I swear, as soon as I rewrite everything to be written and formatted in the 5E way, there's going to be a 4G model or a 6T model. And I don't want to have to reconfigure it again, because now the 5E is outdated. Instead, I use the general premise of that, which I absolutely love. The idea of engaging and exploring concepts with our students before we explain it and extend and all that jazz. Like, I love that. It's great that I keep that in mind as I'm constructing my lessons and writing my unit plans, but I'm not officially formatting all of my unit plans in that way. And that's kind of how I feel about a lot of the tech resources too that get a lot of buzz, you know, Edpuzzle and PeerDeck and Boom Cards. I get a lot of emails about those too. Do you have anything on PeerDeck? Do you have anything on Boom Cards? And I just kind of always feel like there's always going to be something new or better. And I want my resources to stand independently from those things, and especially those tools that I have no control over. And so I hope that the curriculum I create is such a solid foundation. You're freed up so much that if you want to get jazzy with tech on top of it and throw in an Edpuzzle here or there, whatever, you can, because you've reclaimed so much time with not having to ever lesson plan again or write another test, that you now have the capacity to do some of these extra things on your own that will best serve your students. Like, go for it. I love that for you. And I do try to create resources that feel like they'll kind of stand the test of time and any sort of educational trends. And again, all of these are good things. Like, all of these trends are not bad, but I also think because it's a trend, it's constantly changing. And so I have to be cognizant of that in terms of how I write. So I just hope this little mini bite-sized episode encouraged you. Like, if you haven't been using CER and you want to, it's so easy to start. You might already be doing it. You didn't even realize it. And also, I hope that you found a little bit of jam-packed help in this tiny episode. I wanted to test out doing a different length of episode and see kind of how it goes over. So let me know what you think about the shorter episodes, or if you like the longer deep dives we typically do. And last thing I want to say is, don't feel discouraged if you haven't been specifically using this acronym. Most likely, you're still probably teaching your students this way. So don't be discouraged if you're not using CER. If you want to check out any of those complete units of mine that don't explicitly teach CER, you can find them in the show notes at itsnotrocketscienceclassroom.com/episode118. And leave a review today if you like this short mini episode and you want to see more kind of short form content like this in the future. Let me know in the review section. All right, teacher friends, that wraps up today's episode. If you're looking for an easy way to start simplifying your life as a secondary science teacher, head to itsnotrocketscienceclassroom.com/challenge to grab your classroom reset challenge. And guess what? It's totally free. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll see you here next week. Until then, I'll be rooting for you, teacher friend.